Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Guys ready for the word today? All right, let's jump in here. Let's start in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. And we are beginning a brand new series for the month of July called Summer Barbecue. And I don't know anybody that does not like a good summer barbecue. Amen. Barbecue is an American tradition. Well, you know, amen. It's a Mexican one too, and an African American one, and an Asian one. I mean, everybody loves barbecue. Amen. And so we wanted to use that today to get into the topic of what we're going to be talking about in July. And July is all about barbecuing, and what's on the menu is sacred cows, okay? And you might say, well, what is a sacred cow? Sacred cow is a metaphor used for topics that people don't want to talk about or people don't touch. And this analogy really comes from a place from India. And a few years ago, we were in India, and we literally saw kids starving on the streets, begging, and I mean, just so skinny. I mean, deathly skinny. And many of them, many times, were eating out of the trash cans outside of restaurants or near the gutter. I mean, it's the saddest thing. And they're starving and they're begging. All the while, cows are walking the streets of their neighborhood. Cows are there walking around, and people are not allowed to touch those cows. If somebody could just let them know that that's dinner walking by, amen? You could have a pretty good meal. But see, the understanding is, to those children and to those people, we can't touch those cows because they're sacred. And because they believe that, they are living lives where they're starving. And it's the saddest thing you'll ever see. But, you know, we have people in the church that are just like that. We have people in the church that are living lives beyond what God would have for them. You know, God has a certain life that he wants for you, but there's people that will never reach it because they don't believe the right things. Are you tracking with me today? Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. See, this is why the Bible talks about the importance of understanding and learning. And let's jump into this right now. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 talks about what I'm talking to you about today. It says this: my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today. I pray that every person here would open up their heart, Lord God. I pray that their mind would be open to be renewed by your word. And may we, Father, barbecue these sacred cows so that we can remove them and have right thinking and have a right belief system based on your word. Lord, we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we're going after these sacred cows. Now, I want to start here in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, because this is real important for us. Too many Christians are fighting the wrong battle. The Bible is really clear that people are destroyed not because of the devil, not because of demons, not because of evil in the earth. The Bible makes it clear that God's people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. People, you got to make an adjustment in your walk here. You've got to place it at the top of your list that you are going to do everything in your power to pursue the knowledge of God. Can I get an amen on that? See, I spend too much time every Sunday preparing messages so that your mind can be renewed and that I can give you the knowledge of God with the understanding and the hope that if you get the knowledge, it can keep you from destroying your life. But not only your life, the Bible says this, that if I can get the right knowledge, my children won't be destroyed either. See, folks, there's more at stake here than just you. There's your kids and your kids' kids. And the Bible's very clear on those things. But we've got Christians tiptoeing through life, tiptoeing through church, as if they don't know why they're here. I got a very unique perspective as a pastor. Because like I said, every week my job is to feed the sheep, give you information, give you knowledge. But yet so many Christians come to church and they don't take notes. They don't write down anything. They don't pursue knowledge. We simply sit back and we listen. Now, listening's where it starts. But can I just tell you something? If you've ever gone to college, if you've ever gone to university, every student knows if you want to learn the topics that you're studying, you better take notes. Yeah, we got Christians. We just roll up in church. You see, some of y'all don't know the struggle. See, when I got saved, there was no iPads. Oh, come on, somebody. I got to go old school on you. There wasn't no phones with 66 books in it. I had to carry the big Bible. This is a little easier Bible here. But how I remember the big old Catholic Bible that was on your dining room table. And I had to carry this right here. And I didn't have a phone to take notes on. I couldn't jot stuff down on my phone. So I had to have journals. Even now, if you go into my office, you'll see journals and journals and journals from my early years. Because every time I went to church, I wrote stuff down. And I wrote stuff down because I wanted to learn, because I understood something, that I could be destroyed, not because of the devil. The Bible tells me he's already defeated. But what's destroying me is what I don't know. And I wish I could get a church full of folks that would understand that my position when I come to church is to learn some things. In order to learn some things, I'm going to have to write some stuff down. Can I get an amen? Amen. You wouldn't dare pay all that money, $20,000 a year, $30,000 a year for university, and you wouldn't dare go to psychology class and not write a dang thing down. Because you know what would happen come test time? You would fail. And you know what happens to a lot of Christians when the tests come? They fail. Pastor, I didn't know we took tests at church. Oh, we take tests all the time. We take tests all the time. But it's not a written test. Come on. It's not even an oral exam. It's called a life test. See, what happens is God gives me a word to speak on marriage, right? And when you come to a marriage conference or you come to a marriage seminar and I teach you on it. And most of the time we sit there and go, oh yeah, this is a good word. Amen. Praise God. But guess what? The test is coming. And the test ain't going to be something I pass out. The test is going to be when you and your girlfriend or your significant other or your wife get into an argument. Do you know what to do? You know what happens too many times? Christians don't know what to do. So they fail the test. What if the difference between you failing the test, come on, and passing the test was simply doing what you do in university, writing stuff down? Maybe you'll start passing the tests in life. Maybe you'll finally get that promotion. Come on, somebody. Maybe your marriage will finally get fixed. Maybe your kids will grow up, come on, in a godly manner. Are you tracking with me today? But see, we got too many people. Just tell me what to do. No, you've got to pursue knowledge. So right about now is a good time to pull out your phone. Nobody's going to know that you weren't planning on taking notes. Nobody's even going to know that. We're just going to play it off right now. Take out your phone and go over to that little area. If you got an iPhone, if God has blessed you, if you've already come up, if you got an Android, we praying for you. We praying for you. I don't know, you know, there's levels to this thing, okay? But if you got an iPhone, there's a little area there called notes, and you can start putting things in there that God speaks to you in the house of God. And the reason you do this is so you're going to pass the tests, because the tests are coming. Amen? The tests are coming. The tests are coming on your job. The tests are coming in your marriage. The tests are coming in your relationships. And God is giving you the answers right now. Come on, he's giving you the answers right now. But the problem is you don't pursue knowledge. Because see, you don't really understand that the real enemy in your life is your ignorance. Once you understand that, everything changes. Once you start understanding that the key to fixing my life, the key to things getting better in my life is learning God's word, you're going to start seeing change in your life. When you realize that, life gets better and better. Come on, it gets gooder and gooder. Amen? You start elevating. And that's what we're after here. Let me continue on and let me prove it to you here. Let's look over at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 and 2. The New Testament says it like this. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed, listen, to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And so what 1 Timothy is trying to warn us about is the days we live in right now. And basically what he's saying is this: y'all got to be careful what you believe. Because there are doctrines of demons in the earth right now that are trying to get us to put our faith in the wrong things. Because if you start putting your faith in the wrong things, Satan can hold your life in the level and in the condition it's in. And that's what we have today. That's why we're barbecuing sacred cows. Because some of us believe things that just aren't true. And you got to understand, the way to fix your entire life is to watch what you believe. We are experiencing an epidemic of depression and anxiety. And although it may seem like depression is a very layered topic, you want to know what is at the heart of depression? What are you believing? When you pick apart somebody that's under depression and deals with depression, you want to know what it comes down to? They're believing the wrong thing. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. No, Pastor, I'm depressed because this happened to me. That happened to me. No. You're depressed because of what you believe those things did to you, what they took from you. And so if you believe because you were molested when you were younger that you are less than now, it'll cause you to be depressed. If you believe because you were raped that now this is the person you have to believe, it will produce depression in you. But if I could get you to believe what the Bible says, that you are a new creature in Christ, that old things are passed away, everything's new, then we can get that depression out of your life and you could start being happy and having joy and having hope because you're believing the right thing. I know, we just think, oh yeah, but it's more, there's more to it than that, Pastor. Is it? I think choices need to be made. Amen. Because 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, we've got to be careful to what we're believing because there are deceiving spirits, there's doctrines of demons, there's people speaking lies, and hypocrisy. And we live in a day and age right now with social media where everybody has an opinion and everybody has a belief. But can I tell you guys something? Some of those beliefs and some of those opinions come straight from the pit of hell. They're doctrines of demons. They're based on lies. And this is why Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says it like this: do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so what the Bible's trying to teach us here is the key to changing is you got to renew your mind. Translation, read God's word. We've got people that go to church but don't read a Bible, and that's a problem. We got people that say, I love Jesus Christ, but won't take time to spend time in his word. Now, it used to be, back in the day, that spending time in the Bible was very difficult because maybe you only had the King James Version, where it was thou, thee, and you felt like you were reading Shakespeare or something. But now, you got so many translations of the Bible. You got the Living Bible. You got the Message Bible. You got Bible in everyday street language. I'm working on the Hood Bible right now. No, I probably should, though. I tell you what, we should get that going. Doubt Bradford over there, you help me with that. You know all the terms. We could get a Hood Bible. Listen, the Bible is worked out in so many ways, guys. We have no excuse. Now check this out. I pulled this off of social media. Do you have that other video ready to go? This is a video, John Bevere is interviewing a guy that did a poll. They polled, I think, 40,000 people to see what the effects of just reading the Bible 4 days a week would do for your life. Check this out.
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they polled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80. They discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. When we're in the scripture 4 times a week, something radically happened. Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay. Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in scripture? If they're in the scripture 4 times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
You guys see that? It's right there in black and white. 4 times a week could change everything. We need to get all the husbands praying that their wife gets in the word 4 times a week. I had one brave man amen me right there. The rest of y'all were smart. Amen. Let's say it the other way. Well, we need to get some women praying that their man would be in the word 4 times a week. I ain't even got a comment on that. Y'all saw the message. That anger that you're living with, 4 times a week, cut that down. Like, it's just the way I am. It's only the way you are because you won't read God's word. It's just the way I am. When did that become a excuse? Change. Let's change. Everybody, let's change. Tell your neighbor, change. Oh, I could hear it in the room. I don't want to change. I heard you. I heard it in my spirit. I heard it loud and clear. What if I don't want to? If you don't want to change, you make everybody that you love suffer. Husbands, just keep looking straight ahead. Nobody will know. Blink twice. We'll pray for you after service. Wives, same thing. Guys, what I'm trying to tell you is the word. And that's the reason this whole series I'm in right now is to point you guys to the word. Because we believe junk that ain't even in the Bible. We believe stuff that ain't even in the Bible. You know, we got to barbecue that stuff. You guys hear it all the time. You ever hear somebody say, the Lord works in mysterious ways? Some of y'all say that, and you're Christians. That's not what the Bible says. That is not in the Bible. The Bible says that God says, if I'm going to move, I'll tell you how. The Bible's very clear. God says, when I'm going to move, I'll tell you. Will I not tell you? But the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, here's another one. God helps those who help themselves. Y'all quoting that, giving that to your kids in their lunchbox like it's the word of the Lord. It's not. But see, we're deceived because we don't read the Bible. We don't read his word. And then we get doctrinized by our culture, right? And so the thing I want to barbecue in the little bit of time that I have left with you is the thought that everyone goes to heaven. If you're taking notes, the title of this message is All Dogs, D-A-W-G. Come on, somebody. All dogs go to heaven. We're going to barbecue that up today. We're going to cut that up because it's not true. It's not true. But I know some of us grew up listening to Tupac. Come on, Thug Mansion. Come on. Come on, you remember the Ain't No Place I'd Rather Be. Come on. Come on, what's the next one? Only place that's right for me. Chromed out mansion in paradise in the sky. Oh. I saw some of you back there. Slow down. I hope I didn't throw something up by accident right there. If I did, please forgive me. I wasn't trying to. Tupac said, Thug Mansion. He wrote a whole song about how, you know, we need a place in heaven that when we die, we could drink 40s. When we die, ain't no cops coming up. You guys remember the song? Some of y'all remember the song. Some of y'all acting like you don't remember the song. Like you've been saved your whole life. Excuse us, all right? Some of us have a past. Forgive us. And this whole song was, there's a place for thugs in heaven. Because it comes under the understanding that everybody goes to heaven. Even if you've been running the streets selling people drugs that are killing them and ruining families, you get to go to heaven. Even though you've been shooting up and killing people and gangbanging, you get to go to heaven. It sounds nice and offensive, but can I just speak the truth to you today? It's not true. Tupac took it a step further when he said, I wonder if heaven got a ghetto. Come on, you knew that song. I know you knew that one. And see, some of us, deep down, we still kind of subscribe to this thinking. Like, we're going to get in. Like, oh, God, you're going to be able to finesse your way in. Like, you're going to get to the pearly gates and be like, yo, Jesus, you know I love you, dog. You know we good. I know I did some dirt, but man, you know I love you. And like, Jesus is going to be like, oh, man, come on, get your sorry butt in here. You just hoping that he's going to do that. Because deep down, we believe all dogs, all people go to heaven. And I got to tell you something as your pastor today or as a preacher today, that's not the case. See, it all started with the Dalai Lama. He said this, the 14th Dalai Lama, years ago. He came up with the philosophy in Taoism and these things that say this, that all roads lead to heaven. And that sounds good. You talk about a seducing doctrine. That seems so right. It sounds so good that I'll be honest with you. If I would have wrote the Bible, I would have probably included that. Because that sounds cool, right? It's like, oh, we all roads, then we got no reason to fight. We got no reason to argue. Hey, you want to serve Buddha? You want to serve this God? You want to serve that God? Cool. We all going to get there anyway. And that was a philosophy that the Dalai Lama put out into the earth. And it's a philosophy now that culture and society accepts. And I'm sorry to say that it's even something that many Christians accept and think. Now, you would never say it, you would never preach it, but here's my point, y'all. If you don't believe that, why are you living like you do? See, when somebody doesn't evangelize, when somebody doesn't share Jesus, when somebody doesn't invite someone to come to church with them, you're basically like, oh, they're going to be okay. They're going to be all right. All dogs go to heaven. If he just lives nice, he'll make it in. Christians believe that. So can we just barbecue that today? Come on, Jesse, you bring your barbecue sauce? Okay, we're ready to go. Oh, if you're taking notes, this is really going to help you today. Amen. All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, "Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you and attempts to lead you astray from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're really filled with endless arguments of human logic." Guys, this is what's happening in our society in America today. There's an intimidating spirit that wants Christians to just shut up and be quiet. You know, they want to tell you all of their ideas. They want to give you all their opinions. They want to tell you all about what they believe, and they actually want to shove it down our throats. They want to put it in cartoons. They want to indoctrinate our kids. They want to indoctrinate our teenagers. They want to put it in the music, and it's intimidating. And the minute you as a Christian say, "I don't agree with that," there's an intimidation that comes at the church. Colossians says this, y'all better be careful. Y'all better beware. He says, "Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in an attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom, like they know better, when it's really just endless arguments of human logic." Guys, you remember 2020, right? It was a crazy year. We'll all never forget it. People were arguing about politics. People were arguing about vaccines. People were arguing about this thing, about that thing, but not me. "Oh, well, Pastor, you didn't take a stand." No, fool, I was being scriptural here, because I'm not gonna let any of these things distract me from what really matters, the gospel. Amen. The gospel. The gospel is what really matters. Hey, I love you if you're a Democrat. I love you if you're a Republican. And both Republicans and Democrats are welcome here. Amen. I love you if you're a homosexual. I love you if you're not. You are welcome here. Amen. I love you if you're pro-life. I love you if you're pro-choice. You are welcome here. Amen. Now let's let the word of God change you. Let's let the word of God begin to challenge your beliefs. My job is simply to declare it and love you. And guess what? So is yours. Well, let's keep reading. It says, "For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths," which is the word of God, "of the anointed one." So we had Christians, right, with all the news going on with Roe versus Wade. We had Christians all upset. You want to know why they're upset? Because they don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. And so they're listening to this, listening to that, listening to their own opinion. People were upset. People are upset about all the stuff that's going on. I'm not upset. I wasn't upset before. I'm not upset after. You want to know why? Because my heart is set on His word. It's set on His word. Proverbs 14:12 says it like this: "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Proverbs 14:12. Isn't that the time we live in right now? Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. I was talking to somebody early, and they're just like, "Pastor, I just don't see how, you know, these people that serve this other religion, how are they not going to get into heaven? That don't make sense to me." I said, that's why it's not up to you. It's up to Him. And He gives us His word. I don't understand why that's the case, but I also don't get to change the book. I'm saved by the words of this book, and I live by the words of this book. And so should you. See, Jesus breaks it down. He breaks it down. And here's the thing you got to know about Jesus. He doesn't lie. Jesus cannot lie. He's not a man that He could lie. The power and the basis of His faith is understanding that when He says something, it's true. So look what He says here in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." There's a lot of people who go in by it because narrow is the gate. Listen to this. "And difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it." So Jesus doesn't say all roads lead to heaven. You know what he says? He says this, basically there's two roads. Two roads. Now he does say there's a broad road, which means it's a wide road. And I believe it's wide because you got all these belief systems on it. And he says, man, there are a lot of people going down those roads. But he tells you and I, that's not the road I'm on. He says, choose the narrow road. And he makes sure to let you know. Y'all ready for this? He says, it's difficult. It's difficult. Translation, things are going to have to change if you're going to walk down this road. The things you used to like to do, you're going to have to get rid of those things. The things, the way you used to think, that's going to have to change. You know all those women you used to like to sleep with? Yeah, that's going to have to stop. Because it's a narrow road. You know all that dirt you used to like to do? Yeah, it's not going to make it on this road. See, Jesus didn't make no bones about it. It's a difficult road. It's a difficult road. And there are some difficult things on this road. First of all, let me just break this down to you because I think we got it twisted in America. You know, I think it was Kanye and Jay that came out with that song, If You Scared, Go to Church. Oh, no, that was Snoop. If You Scared, Go to Church. Like we all just up in here scared. Oh. Now, church ain't for the scared. Church is for the strong, amen, the brave, the courageous. Because I chose this life. He chose me and I chose him. I could have stayed in the life that I was in. But you know what? It leads me to destruction. So Jesus says there's really only two paths, two roads. He says the road that's small, the more difficult road, is where you'll find life. Look what he says later on in verse 21 and 23. He breaks this down and he says this, now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Another translation says this, you who wouldn't keep my word. So he breaks it down, and here's what he says. All dogs don't go to heaven. All people don't go to heaven. All roads don't lead to God. He says, heaven is the reward for those, you ready, that do the will of God. Which brings me to another sacred cow. Because some people would say this, well, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I prayed the sinner's prayer. Let me tell you something about the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is not a magic incantation. It's an introduction. It's as if I said, hey, come over here. I want to introduce you to Pastor Willer. And Pastor Willer says, hey, how you doing? You shake hands, you give some dap, and you walk away. But here's what people do. They now go into the streets. They now go everywhere, and they say, hey, me and Pastor Willer, we're like this. But those people never call him, never talk to him, never help him, never do what he asks, but yet claim relationship because they had been introduced. The sinner's prayer is powerful. That's why we do it here on Sundays. But it's not the end-all be-all. You're not going to be able to go to the pearly gates one day and Jesus say, what can I do for you? And you go, oh yeah, remember I prayed that prayer. Because he doesn't say it's the prayer that gets you in. He says it's your obedience. I want you to write these things down because I think this is going to help you in your understanding of your own salvation. Heaven is the reward for those that do the will of God. And what is that? It comes down to three things. Repentance, submission, and obedience. Repentance basically means this, a change of mind. It basically means, you know, I used to be a dog, come on, but now I'm a son of God. I used to run them streets and be in them sheets. Uh-oh, come on. And now I'm in church. I couldn't think of a rhyme. Sorry. You know, I used to do dirt, but now, you know, see, that's repentance. But you know how a lot of people treat God in America today? They basically, I used to run these streets, and now I only do it on Saturday nights. I used to be all up in the sheets, but now I only creep maybe once or twice a month. That's all. Hey, I ain't perfect, y'all. God ain't done with me. But guess what? That's not repentance. That's not a change of heart. That's not a change of mind. That's you trying to finesse this gospel, and it doesn't work. Repentance means change. Guys, you only know me as Pastor Sergio, but there's a few people in the room that knew me when I went to Valley High School. They knew the things I was into, the things I did, but I could stand up here and tell you that gentleman's dead. He's passed away. I'm a new creature in Christ. Can you say that? Because if you're saved, there should be a marking place that says, this is what I used to do, but I don't do those things no more. And I get it's a process. Hey, this didn't happen overnight. Maybe the first 3 to 6 months of my life, I was still trying to be a new creature, and then I would jump over here and mess up a little bit, and then I would repent, and then I'd come back, but it didn't turn into a lifestyle. It's like when a child learns to walk, right? Been watching videos of Chris and Aubrey's little boy walk. He called it the zombie walk, because he's walking like this. And he's falling and getting up, you know. There's something wrong. And nothing that's cute when he's a year old. But when you're 17 walking like that, it's not cute anymore. It's actually sad. That's when people start going, oh, man, he got a condition or something. Right? But see, in Christianity, we got people, they still walking, still tipping and tapping and going back. And guys, it's not repentance. If your heart is right, God will deliver you from the stuff you can't stop doing. That's what he did for me. That's what he did with most of these people that you see serving in this house. We didn't do this on our own. Jesus says, if you just repent, then I can get to work in your life. But repent means you got to leave that old way of thinking. You got to stop creeping. You got to stop posting nasty stuff on your Instagram. You got to stay out of the DMs. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm coming for you too. You got to stay out of them places. You got to quit all that stuff if you really want to serve Jesus. It just is what it is. Because let me tell you something. All dogs don't go to heaven. Heaven ain't got a ghetto. Just so Pac knows. Amen. That's bad doctrine, Tupac. Are you tracking? I got somebody got mad because I'm talking about Tupac. Sorry, it was just an analogy. Listen, the second thing there it says is submission. You know what submission is? Coming under. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Submission is bringing all that you have to the Lord. We call that around here bringing God your time, your treasure, your talent. Just giving God a portion of it. God, I have time, I have treasure, and I have talent. I want to give some. It's all yours. Tell me what to give to you. That's submission. But we got people that call themselves Christians that don't serve in a church. Theologically, there's a problem with that. We've got people that say they're Christians and don't give. There's a problem with that because it's not submission. It's you still in control. And the third thing we see here is obedience. And that's where this comes in. Because you don't have to obey anything I say. You don't have to obey any church. But you do need to obey this. Because Jesus says one day, he'll face you face to face and you won't be able to finesse it. You know, it's interesting, the scripture says there that there were Christians that came to him, quote unquote Christians, in Matthew chapter 7. And they were saying stuff like, hey, God, we cast out devils. Hey, God, you know, I did all this stuff in your name. It'd be the equivalent of some of y'all that have been on missions trips with me. God, I went to the Philippines. God, I was in the Dominican Republic with Pastor Sergio. We did all that stuff. And God's still being like, I never knew you. Because it's not about our works. Our works don't save us. Remember, it's our obedience, it's our repentance, it's submission and our obedience that brings us in to relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's the key, y'all. That's the key. Yeah. And as long as we keep believing the wrong thing, we'll keep producing the wrong thing. As long as you keep thinking God is just going to blink and all dogs go to heaven, everybody's good, there's no reason for you to get things right. Until you understand and believe what relationship with Jesus is, until then, you won't get it right. So as your shepherd, I'm trying to break it down for you today. Are you getting something out of this? Come on, let me read you a few more. The barbecue's almost done. Matthew chapter 10, 34 through 39, it says this. Jesus puts it real clear. He says, don't think I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, that's an important statement from somebody called the Prince of Peace. He says, for I come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be those of even his own house. How many have found that out? You start coming to church and everybody in your family got an opinion. They didn't care when you was going to the bar. They didn't care when you was hanging out at Faces. The Cinch. Come on. The Swiss Buddha. They didn't care. They didn't care when you was hanging out at your spots. But why are you going to church so much? And then you got families that got mad because you changed religions. They got mad because you going to church. Why are you leaving our church? They don't even go to that church. But they mad because you don't go there now. It don't make no sense. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you're going to follow me, it's going to bring some drama in your life. Families are going to get mad at you. People, brothers and sisters are going to get mad because you're serving God. He says, this is what it's going to be. It's not going to be peaceful. And then he says this, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. You know, there's some people that don't go to church because it's family day. Well, it's our family day. Why's family day got to be the Lord's day? And why? Who told you church was not for families? See, we put idols, we put things in front of God. You know, we got to be careful for all that. Jesus basically says it like this. If that's you, you ain't even worthy for this walk. Because you're soft. No, I added that right there. I added that part. You don't have to obey that. Look at John 14, verse 6, and this is the thing that sets it all up. This is how we barbecue. This is the special sauce for that thinking that everyone goes to heaven, that all roads lead to heaven. Jesus put it on us like this in John 14, 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. Period. That's it. That's the secret sauce right there. That's the stuff that makes the barbecue hit right there. So we can no longer be deceived into thinking that everybody is going to heaven. Pastor, why are we spending so much time on this? Because see, you got to get this in your spirit. Because you are the answer to the people in your life. Amen. And you don't even know it. In 2020, we saw people going crazy, right? Going crazy in our world. And some people were all about that vaccine. Y'all remember that? All about that vaccine. We've got to save lives. Till we found out the vaccine really didn't work. Come on, y'all know it didn't work, right? Y'all know that didn't work, right? Okay, I know, I'm probably gonna get banned off of Facebook or something for saying this. They coming for me right now. I received the vaccine. I did get it, so I wasn't against it. But some of you got it and still got COVID. I know some folks that got the vaccine, the booster, and got COVID 2 or 3 times. But my point is this, there were people that were all about that vaccine. Yo, we gotta save lives, get the vaccine. They put the little post on their Facebook and their Instagram, get the vaccine, they got the pictures, got mine, I'm saving lives. Those same people never tell anybody about how to escape hell. And you got the vaccine. Let me just tell you this, if you're visiting today and somebody invited you to church, they did because they love you. They did because they realize what I'm preaching. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And if somebody invited you to church, you know what they had to be? They had to be bold and they had to be brave. They had to be bold because they understood you might get offended if they invite you to church. They had to be brave because you might reject them. They had to be brave because they didn't know if you was going to get mad and be like, fine, why are you trying to make me the church? And you know what? There's a lot of Christians. They don't tell anybody about Jesus. And I think it's because sometimes we don't realize that all dogs don't get to heaven. You know, when I got saved, it hit me like a ton of bricks, man. It hit me like a ton of bricks. The reality that, man, I can change. The reality that I was on a path that was sending me to hell. The reality that I was on a path that was destroying my life. You know what I did when I got saved? The next Sunday, I called up my friend. I called up my girlfriend. I called up my friends. I said, hey, we're going to church next Sunday. One of you guys, most of you know Pastor Troy. He's preached here many times. He travels the world and does incredible things for the gospel. But him and I used to hang out, you know, in the club and stuff in our early days. And I called him up. I said, hey, man, I went to church this weekend. You coming with me next week? He said, all right, bet. That's what we used to say back then, bet. All right. He said, I'm down. And I asked him later. I said, man, why was you so down? I was expecting a little pushback, like church. He goes, oh, I just thought you meant there were honeys there and we was going to go. And we was going to clean up that church, numbers after numbers after numbers. So I was down. So he came. And that first service, he went down to the altar and he got saved. Then the next week, I brought another friend and another friend. And I haven't stopped bringing people with me into the kingdom. You want to know why? Because I believe what Jesus said. But in 30 years of pastoring, I have met so many Christians. And some of you here today, you've stopped bringing people to church. And you need to pick up that mission again. Let me put it to you like this. Some of you guys work with some incredible coworkers. Some of you guys, you work in some offices, you work in businesses, you work around some really cool single moms, really cool guys in the office that are just trying to do right, provide for their families. God loves them. And God loves them so much that when it was time to hire somebody, he spoke to your boss to hire you. Now, you think it was because you hecka smart, but you know you're not. Come on, you know you're not. There was 5 or 6 people more qualified than you for your job. There was some better looking people than you too. Come on, come on. You know it's true. You know it's true. There was some nicer people. God put you in there with your attitude and stuff. But you know why God put you there? So that you can reach these other people. Yeah. But here's the problem with Christians. We too busy patting ourselves on the back. God gave me favor. He got me this job, yo. And we're too busy flexing on what he's given us to stop and look around. When you get a job, tomorrow morning when you go to work, look around that office. God didn't just put you there to get a paycheck. Guess what God put you there to do? Share the way. Share the way. Now, I say something like this and people start thinking, you know, oh, I got to get me a sign and I got to go be out here like this dude over on Florin Road with the sign and the speaker and stuff like that, you know, and I got to be out there. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying what Jesus said. Be salt and be light. You know what's incredible about salt? It don't take much. Y'all ever notice that? You could have a whole plate of French fries or a big old 8-ounce steak, and it's just a, you know, like the salt dude, remember? Da, 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 da. It's just a da, 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 da. And that flavor goes all throughout. Y'all ever notice that? That's why Jesus said, be salt. But we got too many Christians trying to be like sauce instead of salt. Because you know what you do with sauce, right? You pouring it all on there. You soak in that thing. Jesus said, no, 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 that's not how you got to be with me. Just dab them. Just dab them with a little something there. And we got church, we got Christians that were, all they want to do is preach. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Bless God, I'm highly favored. Hallelujah, glory, shando, kita, labasata. What can I do for you? Okay, calm down. It's salt, brother. It's salt. Coming in with Jesus t-shirts and got a Jesus bumper sticker and Jesus scriptures and all that. Hey, listen, you know, that's fine. But salt is more powerful. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? You want to know what salt looks like? Salt, many times, you can't even tell it's in your food. But you sure can tell when it's not. Come on, you've been to your in-law's house and you're eating her potato salad. Come on. And it looks good and you dig into it and you're like, it needs some salt. You can't see the salt, but you know it needs it. I wish I could get a church full of Christians that would go and be salty at their work. Not the old salty, as some of you are. I know some salty people. No, just season, salt. Another analogy Jesus says to be is light. Eddie, if you could come help me on the keys. Another thing he tells us to be is light. Light is good in the right degree. But you turn light up, it'll blind somebody. Come on, if we just turn lights up as high as they go, y'all would be up here like, dang, man, calm down. And unfortunately, that's some of Christians' witness. You walk into the office, it's like, dang, calm down, you know, man, what's up? Because you don't know how to just be light. You turning it up all the way, rebuking people, preaching to them all the time, getting on their case, calling them out. Hey, be light, be salt. You know what salt and light looks like? Don't be the worst worker on your job. Don't be the laziest person in the office. Don't be the cheapest guy at lunchtime. Come on, you know the guy, right? Y'all having lunch in the office. He's always trying to bum 50 cents for the machine. Don't be him. Be the guy going, anybody want some chips? Woo, come on, somebody. Anybody want a candy bar? I got you. I mean, be that guy. That's salt. That's light. Now, that's also not enough. That's where we start. But folks, you got to be bold. You got to be courageous. Because all dogs don't go to heaven. I was talking to an old saint one time, and she was saying, man, Pastor, I can't wait till Jesus comes. I said, I can't. She almost rebuked me. You foul spirit, how dare you say that? I said, well, listen, the reason I don't want him to come yet is because I got a few cousins that ain't came to Jesus yet. I got a few guys I went to school with that's still smoking trees and that's all they do. And if Jesus comes, they ain't going. I still got some people in my neighborhood that don't know him yet. I still got some coworkers. I've been inviting them to church and they ain't came yet. So I need Jesus to hold up so that I could get them in. Are you tracking with me today? That should be our mindset. That should be where we're at. If we really believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what I'm asking you guys to do. Let's kill this belief that everybody's gonna make it in. Because as a pastor, I'm tired of doing funerals. Man, I'm tired of doing funerals where it's like for a drug dealer, for a gangbanger, and I got to sit with the mom and I got to plead with her. I got to go, you know, mom, is there any time where he was going to church? Is there any time that maybe he heard the gospel and maybe in his dying breath he repented? Just did a funeral and I had to search for that because I want to be able to give the people hope. unfortunately, sometimes the truth is the truth. And think about some people right now. I believe God's going to drop three people in your spirit. Who do you know that if Jesus came tomorrow, they ain't going? And he's put the antidote in your hand. He's put the solution, the lifesaver, the vaccine, so to speak, in your hand. And you're keeping it to yourself. All dogs don't go to heaven, y'all. There's no thug mansion. There's no ghetto in heaven. There are simply followers of Jesus Christ that have repented, come on, submitted, and obeyed.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.